Now, Femi, okay, welcome to the stream. In the past few months, almost half the global market of digital currencies has been wiped out. So what is next for crypto investors? So on today's show, whether you are a new novice and you don't know anything about cryptocurrencies, or if you're crying in the corner because your Coinbase wallet is empty, this show is for you. On the comments section, join us on YouTube, put your comments, your questions there, and our team of experts will be ready and waiting to help you out. Let's meet them. Let's say hello to Dan, to Nick, to Eduardo. Good to have you all here, gentlemen. Dan, please introduce yourself. Tell us your connection to cryptocurrencies. Go ahead.
Sure, and thanks for having me today, Femi. I'm Dan Roberts. I'm the editor-in-chief of Decrypt. We are a daily crypto news site, but we also seek to demystify and explain the space. So our daily news coverage is as important to us as our explanatory content. Okay. We have a learn section where we kind of hold your hand and explain these technical concepts. And I've been covering crypto since 2011, so pretty early.
Oh, really early. Hello there, Nick. Nice to have you on board. Please introduce yourself to our audience. Tell them what is your connection to cryptocurrencies.
So I am a researcher at the International Computer Science Institute in Berkeley and have also been a lecturer at UC Berkeley. And I've been following the cryptocurrency space professionally since 2012, 2013. And I'm one of the few skeptics who do because I have a business model that I look at the space, can extract the comedy gold and turn it into academic papers because there's a lot having to do with online crime and other things of research interest.
Okay.
And so I've been, let's face it, scarred by exposure to this intellectual virus.
Oh, thank you for sharing your scars with us. More on that in just a moment. Eduardo, welcome back to the stream. Lovely to have you. Please remind our audience, this goes way back, what your connection is to cryptocurrencies. Who you are, what you do.
Yes, and actually it almost predates me knowing you, Femi. I actually am an early hodler, first got into buying Bitcoin in April of 2013. Mm-hmm. I was fascinated by it. My personal scars from the Great Recession and how banks got off scot-free prepped me for Bitcoin, so I'm scarred myself. But personally, I run a online game company called Cinema Draft, and we're using an in-game token cryptocurrency called CD3D.
Okay, lovely to have you, gents. This is a conversation that is about money, about digital currencies, understanding what is happening, but also about people, and people have lost money. I want to bring in Zane Virgi here. She runs the YouTube channel ZVNFT. This is what she told me a few hours earlier.
This is my first crypto crash that I'm enduring, and there's pain, let me just say that. There may have been some tears, but it was pretty tough. I expected a bear market, but I did not expect this. And as I reflect on it, I think this really was kind of a black swan type of a crash. You had a stablecoin, UST, that just took such a severe historic nosedive, put the entire market into catastrophe. Bitcoin crashed, the altcoins crashed, the NFT market went down, and it was just a really tough space to be in. On top of that, war in Ukraine, you've got inflation, interest rates, all of these things combined leads to what I've learned is actually a term in the crypto space and the Web3 space, which is FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. So I have a lot of FUD.
Dan, I'm just wondering if you've got a bit of a FUD going on right now.
Well, no, usually it's funny. Usually people scream FUD who are pro-crypto people, they say FUD in response to any negative news. Uh-huh. And at Decrypt, we cover all of it. We cover the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, we're kind of neutral, chain neutral, coin neutral. I'm glad that Zane brought up UST, because the top level thing I'd want everyone to understand about the last 2 weeks is that, yes, there was this brutal, severe market crash. It was everything in the crypto market. But UST, which is this decentralized algorithmic stablecoin, and of course the joke everyone can make now is, it doesn't look like it was very stable. UST, the stablecoin, had its own mega crash, basically went almost to zero, that was almost a sub-story within the larger crash. So what happened to UST isn't necessarily what happened to everything else. It's not the same as what happened to Bitcoin. So it's nuanced, the bloodbath of the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Stablecoin.
But I think the bloodbath is just beginning. So UST is actually a good space to drop in on how the market is. So the stock market goes up and down all the time, but it's a positive sum game. So I put my money in a mutual fund or an index fund. I sit on it for a decade plus, and going into that is dividends and share buybacks. And so the value for me when I sell it is not just what some other person paid, but the dividends going in. This only works on the long term. And so like Robinhood, don't get me started on them. The cryptocurrency space starts with provably zero sum. For every dollar earned in cryptocurrency, it came at the expense of another investor. And there are two things like this that we can say in the real world: the horse track and Ponzi schemes. And when these systems collapse, they grind slowly down and then collapse very suddenly. So the same thing can very well happen to all the cryptocurrencies, starting with Bitcoin, because there is no value in Bitcoin other than what some other sucker will pay for it. And it's a self-assembled Ponzi scheme.
Well, let me jump into there real quick, because that brings us to the whole concept of value. This is the so I have a site called blacksandbitcoin.com. I established it in January 2014 because I didn't see enough faces like mine out there, and I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that there's no barrier to entry to this whole space. A lot of confusion, a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of FUD, if you would, about the space. And my whole thing is I asked them, how do you define value? Value, honestly, is what someone is willing to exchange in order to get something back from the other person. That's it. So you could say these little green paper bills, you know, that we call money, actually has no value. Fiat currency, by the definition of the king or the government, it doesn't mean anything. I think for the first time, you know, in history, we have a globally decentralized currency that actually has market-determined value, because it's what everyone says it will be. There's a set finite amount that comes out every but so often, and it's the hardest money out there because you can't print it at will like we did. That's got our inflation up like 8%.
And you can't spend it either. So,
yes,
Bitcoin...
You spend Bitcoin everywhere!
Bitcoin, on a global basis, can only process 3 to 7 transactions per second. And I know you're going to say Lightning, which is an alternate thing built on top of Bitcoin, that only allows 3 to 7 new users a second.
Nick, but you can pay with goods with Bitcoin. Maybe not right now, but you could a few months ago.
No,
there's over 20,000 tracked cryptocurrencies on CoinMarketCap. There's a lot of payment solutions, especially on Ethereum, which is a very popular one because of NFTs. Don't get me started on that nonsense. But there are faster, quicker, and honestly, even more ecologically positive coins are out there that you can use to buy stuff, exchange stuff for value.
All right, so gentlemen, this is very exciting, but I want to bring it down to people again, if I may. Dan, let me show you a couple of things that I've seen on Reddit recently in the past couple of weeks. On my laptop, my ex-colleague attempted suicide. My friend and ex-colleague, my manager for 15 years, tried to commit suicide this morning. He basically moved all of his savings to crypto in 21, and Luna was a massive player in his portfolio. All right, that's one person's story. Let me move on here. For those of you considering suicide, here's my story of attempted suicide. If you're panicking, here's the national helpline numbers. This is because of the crypto crash. I lost over $450,000. I cannot pay the bank. I will lose my home soon. I'll become homeless. Suicide is the only way out for me. Dan, these are real people, real stories. What happened?
Yes. And Femi, I mean, terrible. You know, people lost their shirts from this crash.
Yeah.
And I remember 3 years ago, we saw a similar story about a user on Robinhood who didn't quite understand how it worked and thought he was, you know, 750,000 or million in the hole because of the display. And what I would say to that is, you know, what I've been saying since 2011, and maybe I'm a perfect guest here to counter these two guys. I think I'm somewhere right in the center. You know, I'm not heavily invested in crypto. I just think that the tech and the industry are fascinating and are here to stay. I think it's a real thing. That's all. What I would say is I've always been telling people no one should be out there putting their life savings into crypto. I mean, like any other high-risk, volatile asset, and by the way, Bitcoin, 13 years, it's not that new anymore, but in the big scheme of things, still something that's a very new asset class. No one should be putting their life savings into this stuff. And like anything else, and by the way, the same goes for stocks. Even though U.S. equities are so much more mainstream and trusted, you should only put in what you can afford to lose. And so, you know, anyone who lost all
number
their
one rule
savings,
of crypto investing.
It's horrible, but it's not a reminder. It's not, wow,
Dan,
see,
say that again
and
say it loudly and slowly. This is good for all investors, wherever you are. Say it one more time, Dan. Go ahead.
That you should only put in what you can afford to lose, that you should always do your homework and research and not invest in something you don't understand.
Yes.
And that no one can say with certainty what's going to happen to the price of these assets next. I mean, Bitcoin is now back around 30,000. In a week, it could be down to 20,000. It could be back up to 50. It is a volatile asset.
Right.
And so I'm very sad hearing those stories. But I also think, boy, someone who put all their life savings into a very new stablecoin that only existed for the last 2 years, well, that was a very poor decision.
And honestly, and Dan really does state that one of the two main tenets we tell anyone who comes through our community. I'm an admin on a almost 20,000 person community on Facebook called Black People in Cryptocurrency. And we always tell them, one, DYOR, do your own research. And then two, only invest what you can afford to lose. Because he's right, it is relatively new. But going back to the actual long-term value of cryptocurrency, if you just took Bitcoin, which is the major domo, you know, 40, 50% of all cryptocurrencies out there, it is probably the best performing asset class in history. I bought my first Bitcoin at $88 in April of 2013. That same Bitcoin now is worth over $30,000.
Are you really, really, really rich now then?
It's very gauche to talk about.
I just wanted to remind you that you've been on the stream and you're a friend of the stream. All right, Jenny, I'm going to push on just a little bit. Stablecoin is something that I keep hearing you talk about. Stablecoin means that it is connected to some form of money. Nick, I'm really interested in how you would define stablecoin. Go ahead.
I would define it as a casino chip. So the trading of cryptocurrencies is gambling. Because there's net losers, no net winners, blah, blah, blah. It's a fun gambling. Mm-hmm. But you need some way of having chips for the casino. And so the stable coins are the chips in the casino. Now, there's two classes of stable coins. The first one you have are the backed asset ones, like Tether is the biggest one. And these are basically recapitulating 19th century banking. They're what we'd call a wildcat bank and committing a whole bunch of crimes, but they're getting away with it. The other is these algorithmic stable coins, where the idea is let's back cryptocurrency with cryptocurrency. So it's literally making a perpetual motion machine, which works fine until it doesn't. And so, like, why Terra and Luna collapsed so much is Terra was the stablecoin that was offering 20% yield on investment as a stable asset and basically created a Ponzi scheme. Whether those behind Terra were deliberately doing a Ponzi scheme or just happened to have created one, we don't know.
Okay. All right. I'm going to bring in...
And Femi.
Yes, Dan.
Just add here, because there was something just something very basic missing in that definition.
Please, go ahead.
What is the actual purpose of stablecoins? What would people in the crypto industry say is the purpose?
Uh-huh.
The purpose is they're supposed to be, and Terra, you know, it didn't work, but pegged to the dollar. So their value should remain stable, consistent at $1.
Yeah.
And in the case of Tether, USDC, the centralized stablecoins, a company is behind the stablecoin that is saying it has that amount in cash reserves. So that is the purpose, is that you can swap into and out of the stablecoin.
It shouldn't fail because it's connected to the dollar, but yet it did. Let me just bring in a new voice here into the conversation. I'm gonna share this thought with you, Eduardo, because Akin is a Nigerian who has founded his own cryptocurrency, and he looks remarkably calm. This is what he told us a few hours ago.
We shouldn't be surprised about what we just witnessed, most especially when we talk about the factors that influence our day-to-day lives and the geopolitical system in the world we're living today. When we look at the Russian-Ukraine war, the uncertainties around that, the backlash it has received from the West, the sanctions, the embargo, the back and forth, and also when we look at the inflation rate, the rise in inflation rates post-COVID. So this, in my own perspective, is actually the factors that has influenced the cryptocurrency downturn we've just witnessed.
So, Eduardo, one of the changes to the landscape of cryptocurrency that I've seen are more people of colour, more women involved in cryptocurrency. What else has changed in the landscape that you've seen in the past decade?
Well, that's a great question. I think mostly it's been of late institutional change. Institutional money has gotten involved, which has really changed the reactions to cryptocurrencies, ups and downs. Because honestly, like Akin said, he wasn't necessarily surprised with the crypto crash. And I wasn't surprised either, because we now have pretty good data over the last three or four halving cycles. And that's basically when Bitcoin becomes more scarce, and so less of it's being made. And so then there's a whole bunch of second-order effects where the miners start acting differently, the markets start acting differently, and you can almost predict about every 4 years to be a bear market or a slowdown, you know, a crypto winter, if you will. So I think because we have more data, it's a little bit more predictable. So when the bear market came along, I was semi-prepared for it. I was expecting it. And also because there's institutional money more involved, anytime Wall Street has a bad day, now crypto has a bad day, and especially tech stocks. Like I don't hear people saying ban the stock market because Netflix lost 70% of its value. I mean, but people are saying that about crypto, and I think that's erroneous because crypto is tied closely to tech stocks, and tech stocks have had a beating this month.
All right. So, gentlemen, I have so many questions and thoughts and comments for you. I'm going to get you to do this as a speed round. I'm going to throw a comment out, you comment back, we'll move on to the next one. All right, Dan, this is Michael Green. Biggest scam ever, Dan.
Oh, boy, crypto in general? You know, the jury's out on exactly what the use cases will be, but I think after all this time that you can't dismiss this entire industry as a scam. Or I guess you believe that JP Morgan, Apollo Global, and all the other major publicly traded institutions and brands that have gotten in have all fallen sucker to the same overall fraud. But I think there's so many use cases we could get into that show the value.
So Ephraim.
Or they're participating. So A16Z has turned securities fraud into a venture capital business.
Ephraim is watching right now. Ephraim says, I'm going to give this one to you, Nick. The market will always bounce back. The crypto market will bounce back. It will recover. Nick.
I don't think so, because being a naturally assembled Ponzi scheme, you have to get new suckers going in. And the previous markets were grossly manipulated. So the Mt. Gox was the Willy bot. The 2017-2018 was Tether, about a third. This one was Tether in amazing amounts. And so I don't think
Wall Street's
it will
Ponzi
ever
scheme.
Recover.
Oh, my goodness.
So why did it bounce back after 2018 is what I'd ask Nick. If it all collapsed in 2018, why did more suckers come along?
Why is this time different?
We shook them all out.
I don't think it is. I think
Wall Street's a Ponzi scheme. Everything's front run, and algorithmic computers are front rating everyday traders. So where? I mean, show me the bigger Ponzi scheme.
The decentralized finance.
And they
got
bailed
out on the
dollar.
Front running.
My mother lost half her pension working 20 years at AT&T because Wall Street Cowboys in 2008 decided they'd roll up a bunch of bad debt and push it off on the American people. No, don't tell me
and
that.
And recapitulating that in a distributed system doesn't make it better.
Cryptocurrency came from was birthed from the Ponzi scheme that was the global financial markets, because no one was looking out for the little guy, and this was something that was decentralized.
So cryptocurrency came from the Ponzi scheme that was from Wall Street, so it's also based on the way that Wall Street operates.
No, it was a reaction.
Reaction.
Yes.
Eduardo, let me give this last one to you, and this is the last one of the speed round. Andrew says, why is everyone so quick to say crypto is worthless when stocks are going down just as fast, if not faster? Eduardo.
Thank you. And that kind of circles back to the point I interjected with, where basically everything on Wall, ever since I read Flash Boys by Michael Lewis and seeing how everything's front run in the market, any ticker thing you see is, I mean, seconds, if not, you know, minutes old. I'm out. I'm not dealing with stocks, whatever, because it's told Ponzi. Whereas at least with crypto, because of the decentralized nature of the blockchain, you can see every transaction that's ever happened, even if you don't know who has it. There's a transparency there that honestly is going to revolutionize our society, and everything's going to be put on a blockchain that requires a trusted or third party.
Except that if you actually look at it, you have the trusted parties all over the place. You just don't acknowledge it. And the Ethereum miners are more abusive than the most stock market would ever imagine. 10% of their fee revenue is from front-running people.
And Femi, I think one thing we should make sure the audience understands, we talk about crypto as this huge umbrella term, and people use that word to include everything in this industry. But there are many different things going on. I mean, we're talking about the crash. So far, we've been talking purely about crypto as an investment. You buy the coins or the tokens, and you hope the number will go up. But there's a lot more going on in this industry. I mean, when we talk about Web3, we're talking about applications using blockchain to power them on the back end.
Okay. Web3 is Web3 is a technical term.
Well, I would say this. I would say this. One thing that we tell people that who are looking to invest in stuff is look at the utility. What does a token actually do? Case in point, CD3D. We actually have a game we're working on that people can actually use our tokens to play the game. That's a utility right there. Stuff like Shiba Inu, which is a joke coin, Dogecoin, which is a joke coin, I would recommend it. I'm not invested in that, but there's a lot of utility that's out there in crypto space, and it's not just all the rise and fall of Bitcoin.
All right, so one of the things that happens when there is a big crash or a major fail, people is we need to look at regulation. We have to have that conversation today. I'm going to start, though, with David Gerard, who sent us this thought about regulation and cryptocurrencies. Let's have a listen.
Apart from investor protections, the things regulators really worry about is the cryptocurrency market contaminating the real economy where people live. And that would be a bad idea because crypto is a completely unregulated market in practice. Crypto has been trying to get into those, trying to get into pension funds, trying to get investment banks to take on crypto liabilities and so on. The US government is aware of this and very much against it, and that's good. They need to act sooner rather than later.
Eduardo, you are smiling. Dan, your eyebrows are being raised. Share this conversation. Eduardo, you start.
Well, no, I mean, he's totally mistaken because Biden just, a few months ago gave an executive order about how he wants to study and come up with like a stablecoin system because he knows it's the future. You can't fight progress. We don't use smoke signals anymore. We don't use telegrams. You know, phones are fine, but this is like the next industrial revolution is the blockchain.
All right, Dan.
And by the way, more regulation is certainly coming to the space. I want people to understand it is possible both to think that crypto is here to stay and is a real thing and will continue, and also that it will be regulated. You know, don't assume that everyone who is pro-crypto is anti-regulation. Those are kind of just the very OG libertarian types who've been around since 2009.
Nick.
Many people look 100%. At the crypto industry and they agree it needs regulation and there will be regulation. But regulation is not the same as shutting it down completely. That is not what the U.S. is trying to do.
Nick.
Well, they don't need to.
Will regulation satisfy you? Your critique of the whole digital currency market, will regulation, is it because it's just not regulated that upsets you so much?
What upsets me is that the regulations exist, they just aren't being enforced. Mm. Every ICO on the planet is literally a unlicensed registered security, unregistered security.
Not true.
Howie the U.S., that walks like a duck and quacks like a duck and lays orange trees, it's a duck.
Yeah.
The regulations just weren't enforced. Uh-huh. The overall space is, I agree with David Gerard, that if it's just isolated so that it does not contaminate the normal economy, this will resolve on itself because there is so much friction from like mining and the Bezel and everything else that will, make it go away, but it won't go away. When it goes away, we want to make sure it doesn't do additional societal damage.
All right. So,
the Howey test is from 1946, the litmus test determine whether it's a security. I think we should mention that.
Gentlemen, order, just for one moment. We're in the last 1 minute of our show. We asked at the very beginning, what is next for crypto investors? In a sentence, Eduardo, Nick, Dan, Eduardo, in a sentence, what's next?
Regulation is coming, but as I see in Daniel's newsletter every day, I'm a subscriber, there's a lot of great actors in there, a lot of great utility to be had.
The market can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent, but in the end, it's going to be a slow grind and then a catastrophic failure, and I'll have my popcorn machine warmed up for that.
Ooh, harsh. And Dan, what's next for crypto investors?
I think, guys, there will be a shaking out where the wheat gets separated from the chaff. Many tokens, for sure, will fail and go away, but things that have an actual utility and use case will continue.
Okay. Oh, goodness me. We need so much more time. We've got so many questions on YouTube for you. Gentlemen, I have to get you all back together, but for now, thank you, Dan and Nick and Eduardo, and for your comments and questions on YouTube. Thanks very much. I'll see you next time. Have a great weekend.